you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 18 to 25. Didn't you enjoy worship this morning? I think I left prayer time in good hands, don't you? My prayer partner, that our goal is every week to get together. And most of the time we succeed. We may have to change the day, we may have to change the time, but we get together and we're lifting up the needs of the church and spending time together. So thank you for that this morning, Mike. Sensed his presence as you were praying. And sometimes I think that the church phone becomes an emergency hotline. And this past year especially, it's been on a Sunday morning that just people are calling and, Pastor, I'm not feeling well. I'm not, from this morning, ear infections to things going on in people's lives. My prayer for 2020, that there's a great healing here at Rosedale, that God would do something amazing in the health of the people that want to serve him. That was a hard thing to follow with you too. Thanks a lot. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. We're in the fourth week of Advent, and we've lit all the candles representing, like Karen said this morning, love, joy, peace, and hope. Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock, we will light the Christ candle, showing Christ fulfilling the promise of God. Christ candle, candle lit to symbolize the light of Christ coming into this world and displacing the darkness. Christ risen, bringing life to a dying world. And my question this morning is, how many people are aware of what Christ did? How many are aware and understand what Christ wants to do in our lives? And how many, as we're ripping through presents on Christmas Day, will take a moment and not forget the reason that we're really ripping open those presents? I think this is one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story, because I right at verse 18, it just gets your attention of really what Christmas ought to be like. Matthew 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Isn't that good? What a great way to start. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Father, as we take a moment to take a look at the Christmas story and to allow Christmas, Christ, to fill our hearts to overflowing, to minister to us, to allow us, Lord God, to experience not only hearing about Christmas, but experiencing the Christ child. To experience the risen Savior. To not only know of him, but to know him. We ask, Lord God, as we take just a moment in your word, again, I pray that you would allow me to keep my voice and allow your words to project into our hearts, and that you would get honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. When you look at the Christmas story, you think of all of these characters. You think of Mary, and you think of Joseph, you think of Zechariah, you think of Elizabeth, and of course you think of Jesus, and you look at these characters and trying at times, I don't know about you, but I keep trying to grasp, how could this be? How could God do these things and allow people to be such a part of what he was doing? And I think of Mary as a young Jewish girl pledged to be married to Joseph, living out her life and trying to plan out her wedding. And then an angel of the Lord appears to her and says this, "You're highly favored by God, and the Lord will be with you." Now, I don't know about you, but if the angel of the Lord showed up, Mary thinking, you know, probably between 13 years old, 14 years old, she's troubled by this, and I'm thinking, who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be if an angel of the Lord showed up and said these things and told her that she will conceive a baby and you will name him Jesus? That this baby would be born of the Holy Spirit, and she says, he says, do not be afraid. Yeah, right. She is told that her cousin Elizabeth is also going to have a child in her old age. And the angel of the Lord tells her nothing is impossible with God. So I don't know what you need, but is there anything that's not possible with God? Is there anything that after looking at the Christmas story that God not only has a sense of humor, but God does the impossible? And then sometimes I think when we think we figure it out, God says, I'm going to do it another way just so you don't and can't take any credit for it. And when you stop and you think about, you know, Mary's answer, I am the Lord's servant. May it be unto me as you said. I believe Mary had a little bit of faith, don't you? I believe it was supernatural. I believe that Mary had a little lamb, but his name was Jesus. Joseph, standing there as a Jewish boy, pledged to be married, I believe, to the love of his life, planning out this wedding and finding out that she's pregnant with a child that's not his. Nobody needed to tell him that that child wasn't his. He knew it. Think about that. He knew it. He planned to divorce her privately, and then you got to understand the whole culture there, that even when they were engaged, they were literally put together, that even if they were to break this engagement, it's almost like going through a divorce. The angel of the Lord appears to him and says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she has conceived is from the Holy Spirit. It is to fulfill all of the prophecies. It is to bring to pass all the things that God had said. I don't know about you, but this is a God thing. It's a God thing because it happened, and it's a God thing because both of them had to believe God to do something so out of the norm that they had to put their faith into it. Elizabeth, a cousin to Mary, who is old and can't have a child, and later would be having a child named John, later to be known as John the Baptist. The angel of the Lord speaks to her and says, he will be great and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you getting the theme here? That you really want to see something happen with God? The Holy Spirit needs to be involved in it. Zechariah, angel of the Lord appears to Zechariah and tells him all these things that's happening, and he knows he's old. He's know that he's tried to have a baby with his wife, and it's not happening. And he asked the angel, how can this be? My wife and I are old. Luke 1:19 says this, I love this. And can you picture talking to back to an angel? How can this be? Talking back to an angel, and the angel responds this way, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you the good news. I'm Gabriel. He could have just stopped right there. I'm Gabriel. I'm the man. I stand in the presence of God, and I come to bring you good news. And Zechariah is standing there, and all of a sudden, you see, because you didn't believe me, Zechariah, you're not going to be able to talk till this whole thing's over. You're not going to be able to spread any doubt about this, Zechariah, till I fulfill the birth. And I said last week, one of the greatest proclamations I believe has ever been made is the angel standing there today in the city of David. A Savior has been born unto you. He is Christ the Lord. And I stop and I think about Mark Lowry's song, Mary, Did You Know? And that gets me every time someone in the church sings that song. And Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that that baby boy would save your sons and daughters? Did you know that that baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Then I think, Joseph, did you know? Did you know that the greatest gift ever wrapped up would be Jesus in a manger, not something that we exchange amongst ourselves? And I've shared a couple Christmas Eve services where it's almost like an exchange, that we kind of lost the gift giving. Joseph, did you know that the greatest gift was going to be Jesus in the manger, and that your responsibility for a while is going to be to raise him? It's a God thing. During the darkest times in the history of Israel, a prophet named Isaiah proclaimed the hope of the coming Savior 700 years before his birth. Against the backdrop of this hopelessness, Isaiah told the people about the Messiah that would come to save his people. And it would become the greatest story ever told. The Messiah would come as a baby, born of a virgin, and you're going to name him Jesus. And we stop and we think about God with us. And then I think, God help us. God, we need you. And that God would come is such a God thing. God, that you would come even after we messed up a plan that you had for us. Even after we messed it up, God, that you would come. And I think only God. And I think that only God would never give up on us. And only God would show us that kind of love and desire and touch each and every one of us. Would provide a salvation for each and every one of us and desire to have a personal relationship with us. I think about service last week, and God got a hold of a young man's heart in the service. I don't know if you were aware of it, and God wouldn't let go of him. This young man came with our granddaughter, and right from the start of the singing of the worship songs, this young man began to cry, and I could see God was doing something in the service. And from the time that they started worship to the time that the message was given and done, I could see God was getting a hold of this. And I talked to the young man, and I found out that he's being deployed in May. God, we need you. Amen. God began to do something amazing. And I believe he will continue to do that. We watch 2019, and I see all of these celebrities and athletes that have passed away, and and some of them have touched our lives in so many ways, and for sports fans and for those that know that I like my Packers, Bart Starr passed away this past year, and Gloria Vanderbilt, a fashion designer, and Eddie Money, a singer, and Valerie Harper, an actress, and Tim Conway, a comedian, Lee Iacocca, GM, that was one person that led two out of the three big major auto companies. John Havlicek, another athlete, and Doris Day, but all of these names, and there's literally thousands this past year. It seemed like more in my generation have passed away this past year. But I want you to know that none of these names that I've mentioned, none of them came so that you could have life except Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, only one, Jesus. We know the Christmas story and we know all the characters, but if we're not careful, we forget that all were born and only one was sent. We get so wrapped up in all of these things. Mary and Joseph could only do what they did because God empowered them. They were the chosen ones to begin God's divine power and his divine plan. God gave them, I believe, special faith to step out into the realm, to me, not only impossible, but into the God realm. And there's a commercial, I don't know, my wife would understand this more than probably any of you, but there's always catchy commercials that come on this time of year, and L.L. Bean has one, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I don't know if you ever saw, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I think me and my crazy mind, I think it's catchy. And I think that about God, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and nobody's going to be able to stop it. Nobody's going to be able to hinder it. And I look from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You know, I see Jesus. I look from Abraham all the way back to Jesus, and I see the prophecy fulfilled, and I see right down to minute details that God has this. Because when I look at this and I see King Herod trying to destroy the plan of God, when you read in Matthew 2:8, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. You ever see such lies dripping off of somebody's mouth? Magi being warned again by the Lord in a dream. Don't go back that way, and don't tell King Herod. Angel of the Lord speaking again to Joseph says, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for this child to kill him. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it work. No matter how hard they try, Christmas is a God thing. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, came. And if you look at the Greek word for birth there, it's again like Genesis, the beginning. And you see that God makes a plan to redeem mankind, and nothing and nobody is going to get in the way of it happening. He speaks to Mary. He speaks to Joseph. He speaks to the other characters that are involved. And when God is talking, they're listening. And I think sometimes we miss it, that we want so much to do the talking. I know it's just me, but me at times, God, here's how you should do this. I've got a plan. And if you really love me, Lord, you will make my plan work. And God says, I got this. But you're probably going to have to stumble a little bit till you realize it's not your plan, it's my plan. Joseph took Mary, Scripture says he did not have an intimate relationship with her until after the baby was born, and gave him the name Jesus. Joseph, take Mary as your wife because the child she is carrying is conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Israel's founding father, Abraham, receives this promise, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Israel is God's nation, not only to receiving blessings, but it also is to be a blessing. All people on earth, I will make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Don't make me sing that song again. It's just repeated throughout the scriptures. This is why we have the fact that Jesus loves us and Jesus did everything he could to make it happen. And that's why, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, it is a scripture that ought to just get us encouraged and fired up. You know, that's the scripture that most everyone in the world knows. And that's the one that they can't grip the easiest. If you're looking at the manger, and that's a theme this morning, and believe me, that wasn't my part. That was the worship team's part. But if you're looking at the manger and you still see Jesus as a baby, you're living in the past. You miss it. Jesus is the Savior who is now called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus reigns. He's the Son of the living God, and he is the hope that this desperate world needs. And he will make things right if you would accept the gift of salvation. Satan had a plan, and his whole plan was to stop the plan of God, but it didn't work. One person has said it this way, Satan, devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand, for God is with us. If you are this morning saying Jesus plus anything else, you're missing the plan of God. It's not Jesus plus a new job. It's not Jesus plus a spouse. It's not Jesus plus more money. It's not Jesus plus a new home. It is just Jesus. Jesus is enough. Scripture says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And there is salvation in no other, for there is no name written under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Somebody ought to be getting excited. But God shows his love for us in that yet while we are sinners, Christ died for us. God is enough. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It is written throughout all of God's word. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is enough. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. I could go on and on and on with scriptures this morning. What do you need this morning? We need Jesus. I don't care this morning if you're sitting there debating whether you're going to come to Christ this morning or if you've been a believer for many years. What you need this morning is Jesus. And if you need a Savior this morning, you need Jesus. And after talking and going through 2019, going into 2020, what some of us need is Jesus the healer, Jesus the provider, Jesus the sustainer. need to, God to be with us. See, most of us know him as Savior, but a lot of times we struggle with making him Lord. And we need to surrender to him and allow him into our lives, into those areas of our lives that a lot of times we keep to ourselves. Because he does still want to speak to us. And he still wants to meet us where we're at and take us where he needs to take us. So I'm getting ready to close, and before I do, I want to give God an opportunity. Let that verse just hang on your heart for a moment. For God loves, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He has done all that he can do, and the rest is up to us to respond. Amen? Every part of our lives. If you're a believer, I'm asking you to be praying for a moment. If you're an unbeliever or you've been struggling with your walk with God, I'm inviting you this morning to take all of Jesus. All of them. The healer, the provider, the sustainer. Every part of him into our lives, and whatever he's asking of you this morning, that you would surrender that. As most of you know, that I accepted the Lord at 14 years old, and I've told that story that my brother and I were surfing through the channels, and Billy Graham was on and began making fun of him, and we had a good old moment until God got a hold of my heart. The more I made fun of him, the more God got a hold of my heart. And I want you to know that, you know, I wish the story would say at 14 I just started serving God and never looked back. Well, that wasn't the case. I made a commitment to the Lord that day. I'll never forget it. It was real. It was a moment. But between that age and in my early 20s, I struggled with who Jesus was and who Jesus needed to be in my life. All those times where you just struggle. And you know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. There's a part of me that I did not want to give to God. And isn't that something? God goes, that's the part I want. You may close that door, but that's the part I want. And it wasn't until I said, God, you can have it all. And don't get me wrong. I still have struggles. I still have moments, and you're not going to get a glorified body till you go home. But I don't have to struggle where I want to be on a Sunday morning anymore. I don't struggle whether I'm going to do what God has asked me to do concerning finances, concerning all the, because God's going to get his portion. God's going to get my heart, and I don't wrestle with being obedient. Sometimes I struggle. Sometimes I stumble. But I often say, if you get up one more time than you fall, you've got a victory. So, you know, this morning, I don't know what he needs to do and what he's wanting to do in your lives, but I'm telling you that he wants to draw closer to you, wherever that is. If you're walking right beside him, he still wants to know you better. And he still wants you to know him better. So could we just have a moment of prayer? And I want you to understand, and I believe this with all my heart, that if you don't understand and understand how Jesus came, then you're not going to understand who he is and why he came. And you're not going to understand the value of him coming. And I think that's a lot of what's happening today. They know Jesus, the name Jesus, but they don't understand why he came. They don't understand the love that he has for him, because if they understood the love that he had for him, they would come to him. And they don't know the value of what God is doing for their lives. Like they can do all these things on their own. So this morning I'm just asking you, what do you need Jesus to be in your life? Where's the struggle that you say today, Jesus, this is the area of my life that I need you? And then respond and let him let him be a part of that. Open up that door. And I pray that as we go into 2020, that whatever that stumbling block is, that he would remove it. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. I just want to give you praise that I still have my voice. That your word will go forth. You have never let me down in all these years, and I don't believe you'd work at start. I ask this morning, Lord God, that you would minister to each one of us. Wherever we're struggling, Lord God, identify it and show us in Jesus' name what you want to do. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would commit their lives to you. They would ask you to forgive their sins. That they would repent of those sins and believe in a resurrected Christ so that they could be resurrected. I pray this morning, Lord God, if you know Jesus as Lord, that he would also be Savior. If you only know him as Savior, I pray today he would become Lord. I pray today, Lord God, for those that are struggling with health, that Jesus would be the healer. We give you honor and we give you praise. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Each and every one of us today has been given a gift from you. I believe each one of us here today has been spoken to by your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would respond, each one according to what you're saying to us. And I ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.